Today is Wednesday, August 6th. Good afternoon for WRCO News. Sitting in for Joanne Krulatz, I'm Tim Thede. The Richland Center City Council met last night. Items that were discussed include a report from the Economic Development Director, Jason Glassbrenner, that the Development Committee is working with congressional spending grants on street projects, which include sidewalk replacements near Hive Drive and possible infrastructure street repair on Jefferson Street. Glassbrenner also reported that Panorama Estates Building 2 and 3 had a pre-construction meeting 2 weeks ago, and dig time will begin in September. City Administrator Ashley Oliphant reports that the garbage and recycling services with the former Town and Country Sanitation expires at the end of the year. The city will be soliciting proposals for garbage and recycling services. The council approved additional funding for of $4,083.52 for unexpected costs to install a large generator at the municipal building. The council also authorized execution of a $34,559.73 innovation grant awarded by the Southwest Regional Planning Commission to be used for GIS services. Repairs on an overhead crane used for street repair was approved. The amount should not exceed $4,000, and the money will come from the Roadway and Equipment Repair Fund. The City Council also approved renewing the city's contract with Abswain Law Office for legal services. Cost of services will increase from $150 per hour to $175 per hour, with an estimated annual increase cost of $10,000. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports an incident took place at the Vernon County Courthouse in the city of Viroqua yesterday morning at approximately 9:45. The Vernon County Clerk of Court's office received a call indicating there was an unresponsive adult male inside an automobile in the parking lot at the county courthouse. Court staff immediately summoned the court security officer, a full-time deputy sheriff, who responded directly to the patient and notified the sheriff's office 911 dispatch center requesting additional resources. With the busy court schedule, a second court security officer, a part-time deputy sheriff, was available and retrieved medical equipment and supplies from the patrol vehicle. The first sheriff's deputy quickly recognized that the patient was displaying signs of an opioid overdose and took immediate action according to his training. The Viroqua Police Department, Viroqua Fire Department, Viroqua Emergency Medical Responders, and Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance all arrived on the scene for further care. A patient was transported to Vernon Health, treated, and released. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is issuing a public health alert for cured and smoked teriyaki beef product produced by Holman Locker and Meat Market in Holman. The alert is due to the product being misbranded and containing undeclared allergens. The aforementioned product contains soy and wheat, known food allergens, which were not declared on the product's label. The product was sold at Holman Locker and Meat Market on or before August 1st of 2025. DATCAP is issuing this public health alert to ensure consumers with an allergy to soy and or wheat are aware about this product and it should not be consumed. No illnesses have been reported as a result of consuming this product. Anyone with signs or symptoms of a foodborne illness or allergic reactions should contact their doctor. Consumers who have this product can discard it. Consumers and media with questions about this public health alert can contact Lori Stetler, Holman Locker and Meat Market at 608-526-3112. A second bond is set for a woman charged in a plot to poison one of her boyfriend's former girlfriends. Andrea Whitaker was given a $15 million bond in Rock County Court on Monday. The 41-year-old Madison woman is accused of conspiring with boyfriend Paul Van Dyne Jr. to poison two women Van Dyne dated in Rock and Dane counties. Whitaker faces several charges in both counties, including attempting first-degree intentional homicide. Her bond in Dane County was set at $4 million. The allegations against Whitaker and Van Dyne prompted three hazmat investigations in June on Madison's west side. Van Dyne and Whitaker are both due back in Dane County Court today. The Voting Rights Act is 60 years old today, and the Wisconsin League of Women's Voters is marking the anniversary with an education event at the state capitol. Terry Barr has more.
The League is highlighting why the Voting Rights Act is a promise and needs to be protected, especially right now. The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to hear cases which could change parts of the Voting Rights Act, including fair maps. Here's Wisconsin's League Executive Director, Deborah Krohn-Miller.
Our mission is to defend democracy and empower voters to elect your representatives. And those elected representatives are supposed to carry your voice to the Madison Capitol, to D.C., to your municipal leader boards, and, you know, and when they fail to, that's the crisis that is the breach of our Constitution.
The Voting Rights Act is a federal statute which prohibits racial discrimination. It was signed into law by President Lyndon B. Johnson on August 6, 1965.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services releases vaccination rate data for the 2024-25 school year. Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ryan Westgaard says 86.4% of Wisconsin students met the minimum immunization requirements. DHS said unfamiliarity with new meningitis vaccine, a requirement for students grades 7 through 12, is believed to be the reason for the decrease. Watergaard says vaccination rates for measles need to be at least 95% to provide herd immunity. More information on vaccines, including links to vaccination rates by school district, can be found on the DHS website. Celebrating 1 year of the state's home energy rebate programs, Wisconsin received $149 million under the Biden era. Inflation Reduction Act for the Home Efficiency Rebate and Home Electrification and Appliance Rebate programs. The programs are administered by the State Public Service Commission. Governor Tony Evers says more than $2 million in rebates have been distributed, helping Wisconsin families make home upgrades and keep more money in their pockets. Just under $75 million went to the HEAR program, providing discounts for installing energy-efficient appliances. Another $75 million went towards the HOMES program for whole home efficiency improvements. The Voting Rights Act is 60 years... Oops, that was the story from before. My apologies. Several Wisconsin law enforcement offices are making deals with ICE. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
More and more Wisconsin sheriff's offices are making deals with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Under some of these programs, local law enforcement can essentially operate as immigration authorities. The ACLU says 3 years ago, eight Wisconsin counties were signed on to this program. Well, seven more have joined just since President Donald Trump took office. Now 13 counties across Wisconsin have formal 287G agreements with ICE. Last week, we reported that at least three sheriff's departments across the state have signed agreements with ICE to house people before deportation. Before that, the only ICE detention facility in Wisconsin was Dodge Detention in Juneau. The ACLU report shows that ICE has requested more than 3,000 detainers in Wisconsin over the last 4 years. When honored, those detainers allow someone to be transferred directly to ICE from local sheriff's departments without a warrant signed by a judge. It's optional, but most Wisconsin sheriffs choose to honor them. The Dane County Sheriff's Office does not, which recently drew the ire of the Department of Homeland Security.
A Wisconsin appeals court has ruled that private text messages and messages sent through private apps by public officials in the state can be released if they involve public business. The ruling stems from a lawsuit accused former National Resources Board Chair Frederick Prehn of unlawfully withholding public records, including private text messages, between him and the then-governor, Scott Walker. The appeals court also ruled that the public officials can be held accountable for legal fees in cases where the court finds that records should be released. Milwaukee will host another convention of Republicans. This time, it's the Young Republican National Convention in August of 2027. The gathering put together by the Young Republican National Federation is expected to draw 1,200 attendees and generate about $1 million in economic activity for the region. Last summer, Milwaukee hosted the 2024 Republican National Convention, which brought in over $300 million of business impact. Wisconsin has been a key state in deciding the most recent presidential elections. Scammers try just about anything to steal personal information and money from consumers and businesses. When something is a hot topic in the news, they may use that when targeting someone. Recently, scammers have been using fake tariffs to target their victims. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Well, they have been in the news lately, and these tariff conversations are real and legitimate, and recent activity has provided scammers with this new opportunity to target consumers and businesses with fake messages and payment requests. And we've seen that throughout time, and especially during COVID when information was changing.
When fake tariff scams happen, the scammer will pretend to be an individual or company that charges actual tariffs.
By impersonating a government agency, a shipping delivery company, an importer, scammers may contact consumers and small businesses with a claim that they must pay a tariff or provide private information before a product they bought can be delivered. Now, if the consumer provides their personal or payment information, they could lose their money and be at risk of identity theft.
Michelle Reinen says that fake tariff scams can be like other scams used to fool consumers.
We've talked in the past about shipping and delivery scams and fake toll fee scams. We anticipate these fake tariff scams are going to be very similar. Be aware of unpaid tariff text messages, emails, and phone calls, and avoid opening any links or attachments.
If you suspect or are a victim of a scam, you can contact DATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by a phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcaphotline@wi.gov. The Walk with Grace Captains at Night and Survivor Reception will be held tonight beginning at 5 at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. The evening will include a free will donation pizza buffet and a short program at 6 featuring researchers from the Carbone Cancer Center in Madison and Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. Cancer survivors are also invited to register and receive a free gift. Team captains are urged to turn in team packets. All calendar raffle tickets and luminaries sold must be turned in at this time to count towards the team total for this year. Money can be turned in at the walk, but will not count towards the team total. Give the gift of life and keep the blood supply strong this summer. The American Red Cross urges all donors to give blood or platelets now. All blood types are needed, but type O blood products are the most needed on hospital shelves. Two blood drives will be held this week. The first will be on Friday from noon to 5 at the Iowa County Sheriff's Office in Dodgeville. The second will be Saturday from 8 to noon at the Grove Regional Community Center in Mazamani. Book a time to give blood or platelets by visiting redcrossblood.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS or by using the Red Cross Blood donor app. SSM Health St. Clair Hospital Baraboo will be holding an Impact Life blood drive on Friday from noon until 3 in the hospital's Ringling Room. The hospital is located at 707 14th Street in Boscobel. Please bring your photo ID and make sure you eat before your donation. To book an appointment, please call 800-747-5401 or go online to bloodcenter.org. Doug Culpepper and Meriwether Circus, sponsored by the Southwest Partners Incorporated, returns to Richland Center's North Park on Sunday and Monday. CNM Circus has been providing quality local family entertainment for 40 years. There will be brand new 2025 performances featuring Big Cats, presented by Trey Kay, aerialist extraordinaire Simone on the trapeze, and Perez Daredevil duo on the tightrope and Wheel of Destiny, the high-energy Macias family, hand and foot juggling, and everyone's favorite circus clown, Leo Acton. On Sunday morning, starting at 9:30, there will be a tent raising and tour. Everyone is invited to watch the big top rise. You'll also get a chance to tour the grounds and get a behind-the-scenes look at the show, learn about life on the road, and the care the animals receive. There will be two performances each day. 1 hour before each performance, the Midway will open, featuring pony rides, moon bounce, giant slide, face painting, concession stand, and box office open for some extra fun. The performances will be held Sunday at 2:30 and 4:30, and on Monday at 5 and at 7:30. And they are 90-minute amazing shows that the whole family will love. Advanced ticket prices are $13 for adults and $8 for children 2 to 12 or seniors 65 and older. They can be purchased at Napa Auto Parts, Richland Center Parks and Rec, Kelly's Coffee Shop, and Capital Wealth Ameriprise. A higher percentage of advanced tickets go back to the sponsor, meaning more money back into your community. You will also save money and can skip the lines at the box office. Ticket prices at the box office are $16 for adults and $9 for children 2 to 12 or seniors 65 and older. So come one, come all to the Culpeper and Merriweather Circus Sunday at 2:30 and 4:30 and Monday at 5 and 7:30 at North Park in Richland Center. And the Richland County Land Conservation and Zoning Department will be participating in Snapshot Day on Saturday. This statewide event invites natural enthusiasts of all age to help search for aquatic invasive species in our rivers, lakes, and wetlands. On Snapshot Day, volunteers will gather at a local training site hosted by the Community Conservation Partners. After a brief training on how to identify target AIS and follow search protocols, participants will visit designated monitoring sites to search for invasive species. Any potential invasive found will be cataloged with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, supporting efforts to control and manage these species. This is a free event. No prior experience or special equipment is needed. Snapshot Day offers a hands-on, community-driven approach to science, allowing volunteers to directly contribute to preserving Wisconsin's water health. Richland County Land Conservation and Zoning will be checking rivers, streams, and wetlands for potentially harmful invasive species. Understanding where these species are is invaluable to resource managers, and understanding what is out there and why it could be harmful is invaluable to our communities. This will be the second time Richland County Land Conservation hosts Snapshot Day, working alongside other conservation organizations to prevent the spread of invasive species across Wisconsin. Get involved, enjoy the outdoors, and help protect our waterways. Sign up for Snapshot Day today. Register and see all event details at wateractionvolunteers.org/events. Advanced registration is requested to help site leaders build monitoring plans, but will remain open until Friday,